Hello, agents, and welcome to the 20th episode of the Ingress Insights podcast, hosted by myself, Pokemon Trainer Jay. Ingress Insights is a podcast all about the Niantic game Ingress. In this week's episode, we're going over updates regarding Cryptic Memories, as well as a bit of a Shard Knight explainer. And this is also our episode about gaming for mental health. So I'm going to have a brief discussion about whether Ingress is good or bad for your mental health. And then, you know, obviously you comment on what you think about that on there. And we've also got a rumour out the Q2 anomalies that I'm going to go over. So first of all, I'm going to move on to talking about the second series of cell battles, which are currently underway. Just to add a little note here, you may have detected in my voice I'm a little ill again, unfortunately. I did have two teeth removed recently and I've picked up a terrible cold, so in case I sound a bit off, that's just why. Hopefully I'll record a podcast next week and I'll be full of health again. But this week I'm feeling a bit rough, but still want to record this and get this out. The Cryptic Memories anomaly is having three cell battles. One has already completed, and the second one is now underway, and that's been running since the 22nd of February and runs until the 29th of February. It's across three America regions, three EMEA regions, and I believe seven APAC regions, cells there. So if you are in those cells, which mentioned in previous podcasts, and I'll link to the Cryptic Memories news post. The main aim, as mentioned before, in these cell battles is earning the most MU for your faction, so making lots of fields, lots of links, and make sure you've got the highest score in the cell for when that ends. So if you are in those cells, make sure you do as best you can for your faction before the 29th of February ends on there. As noted, the cell battle that's going on ends on the 29th of February, being the last day of February this year, and we're getting into March. So this means that the play boxes for the Cryptic Memories anomalies in March in Macau and Porto have also been revealed. So if you're able to get to those locations, you can now see the areas where the anomaly will be happening on the Intel map. You can look that up. And the same kind of thing there. There'll be various Go Rook events and various battle beacons and battles to be had on the ground at those anomalies. And if you're obviously travelling to those countries, you can join your factions. I'll put the relevant links to ENL Rocks and Will We Blue for joining those events if you want to do that if you've not yet registered. And then obviously that will be our final one for Cryptic Memories in March, followed by the bonus week sometime after that. And we do have a rumour to discuss for what the Q2 anomalies are called, so I'll move into that next. An update this past week came out from the Resistance Global News Network on Telegram, and they've claimed to have learned that the name for the next anomaly series is Buried Memories. They were correct in their previous one, with it being called Cryptic Memories for this anomaly season, and Buried Memories seems to link into that, obviously, going forward. Whether we'll be having memories-themed anomalies all this year, I don't know. But as we've had Cryptic Memories, Buried Memories kind of makes sense to move on to, but it's not yet been confirmed officially by Ingress on their news posts or anything like that. As I said, they were correct last time, so it's likely we do have Buried Memories coming up for the Q2 Anomaly series. We don't have any more details or logo, anything like that yet, but keep your eyes out. I'll update once we hear any further concrete details from the Ingress team. The Ingress team on the 20th of February updated their Cryptic Memories news post with details for the second Shard Knight. So this is happening on the 1st of March 2024, and they're in Auckland, New Zealand, Canberra, AU, Kochi, Japan, Suwon, Korea, Toyama, Japan, Tsumi, Japan, Changhua, Johor Bahru, Pasay City, Perth, Bekasi, Bogor, and Nonthaburi. So you can click the links on the Ingress news post to get details on those cities. If it's one that you live nearby or can get to, you can then participate in that on the 1st of March. I'm just gonna try and summarize up what a Shardite is in a bit of easier details. So these will last 1 hour, starting at 7 p.m. local time at all 13 of those sites. And each site has 10 points to contribute to the overall Anomaly Series score. So one faction may win everything, as we've seen with previous ones and cell battles. And you'll see the center point of the location will get ornamented about a week before. So you'll see a special marker on a portal in the center point of that location. And then 24 hours before, so being on the 29th of February, you'll see 13 portals get ornamented. And at 7 p.m. local time, when Shard Night starts, you'll see wave one of the shards appear, which will be three shards. And the aim for those is to have them travel a link longer than or equal to 250 meters in length for your faction. After that point, well, sorry, they will jump that from there. So what you need to do is go to the portal that the shard is on, turn it to your faction, and then link to other portals so it can leap to a portal of your faction as well. And when they jump that link that's 250 meters or longer in length, you'll score that shard for your faction. Shards will only travel along links connecting two portals of level 4 or higher. If there's multiple viable links existing, so you've made a star kind of link on there, you've got billions of links going out, a shard may travel under any one of those links. And if there are multiple shards present on a portal, they may each travel along different links. So during Shard Night, there'll be multiple waves of shards coming out. I believe there's three waves that happen at various times. And then once all 8 p.m. local time, NIA Section 14 will place battle beacons on all portals where there were shards, so either origin ones or ones that they've jumped to. And then agents can interact with those and earn their Cryptic Memories Anomaly badge by interacting with those battle beacons that have manifested as part of Shard Night. You can't get the badge by doing remote recharge on those. It has to be a local interaction, as mentioned. And for the Shard Night, just to run through the times, so wave one manifests at 7 p.m. local time, and then they'll jump 50 minutes later, and then at 7:15 local time, the wave two shards manifest, being four shards, and at 20 p.m. local time, the wave one shards will demanifest, go away, and then the shards at for wave two will jump at 7:30 p.m. local time, and at that same time, the wave three shards will manifest. And then 5 minutes later, the wave two shards will jump. Sorry, 5 minutes later at 7:35 p.m., the wave two shards will demanifest. They already jumped at 7:30. And then at 7:45, the wave three shards will jump. And then at 7:50 p.m., the wave three shards will demanifest. And then you've got 10 minutes before those battle beacons then appear. So I've not yet Shard Knight myself. I'll probably get to, but they sound like they're fun, but maybe a bit confusing if you're brand new to Ingress. So what I'm going to do now is look at the rest of the March events, because that's our first one being on the 1st of March, and by the time this podcast comes out, there'll only be a couple of days of February left anyway. As we look to the end of February, I'm now looking at March's events and various other little bits that aren't necessarily on the blog post. So, as I mentioned, on the 1st of March, we start off with the second Shard Night. The 2nd of March, we've got First Saturday, which is going out to an organised event and following the details there, because you no longer earn the badge by doing that online. But it's a good opportunity to meet with other agents, participate in a live event that's generally a bit smaller than something like a Mission Day or Anomaly if you want to get started on that. The 7th of March brings us the third cell battle for the Cryptic Memories Anomaly, and that's 5 AMER cells, 5 EMEA, and 3 APAC cells are involved in that. We don't yet have the details on where those will be. The 10th of March is second Sunday. This is going out and be completing 6 missions that you've not be ones you've done before. You can't do the same mission again 6 times in a row and expect that to count. They don't have to be new missions. You could redo your mission from like Halloween, Christmas, second Sunday, some that you've done previously. As long as you do 6 unique ones, you'll get a badge tick on that. This may be the last time that you have to do missions in that way to earn the badge for second Sunday, because the ingress team have mentioned it may change going into Q2. So we'll have to see if that does happen. The 15th of March, we've got the third Shard Night, which is in AMER regions. And again, we don't yet have the further details available for that. The 15th of March also starts off the Cryptic Memories Anomalies on the ground and little events leading into that. So from the 15th to the 17th of March, the NL1331 van portal will be active in Macau and Porto. And then on the 15th at 5 p.m. local time, in both those locations, the NIA TKO stealth ops will be happening. And the 16th of March at 10 a.m. local time will be the NIA TKO urban ops that's happening there. And they'll be kicking off their main Cryptic Memories XM anomaly on the same day. That will be followed by Macau and Porto mission days on the 17th, as well as Operation. Then our final event for March is the Cryptic Memories Anomaly bonus, starting on the 22nd of March at 5 p.m. UTC to the 1st of April, 5 p.m. UTC. That all actions will yield 1.5 AP. So on friendly portals will yield 331 times the amount of gear. So that's something everyone gets to do. And that will lead us into starting Q2. And hopefully we'll get details of the Q2 events announced kind of, and be able to go forward from there and understand a bit more detail about what's happening. And I just want to cover a small update to the app that we had before we got to Jason news as well. On the 21st of February, the Ingress team updated the Ingress Prime app on the App Stores and Google Play Stores. So this is now version 2.135.1. So in this, they added sound and vibration to the bounty screen, updated on the bounty screen, which resyncs with the game servers when opening bounties, updated the portal key scroll bar to prevent accidental scroll jumping. That happened to me a lot, so I'm glad that's fixed. They've also updated the drone net to check for sufficient XM before showing the glyph hack sequence. Obviously, there may be other things kind of under the hood, but I think this is mainly a bug fix update. Like I said, I'm glad to have the portal key scroll bar fixed, because that's annoyed me from time to time. It's jumped down to the portals that are stored in Antarctica that are way down at the bottom of my list. Recharge for various bounties. But I think that's a generally good little update, and maybe the last one that we have for Q1 that's quite big. I imagine the next one will be like text fixes or something like that. I know there's plenty more work to be done on the app, but I don't think we'll get a big one before the start of Q2 now. But good update for me, so I'm quite happy with that. And then we'll move into some Ingress adjacent news now before I get into our feature discussing mental health. I may say some words here that some agents want to skip past. That's absolutely fine. But as part of the OPR Wayfarer things, obviously agents submit new way slots to become portals, and some of those portals make it into Pokemon Go, and same as when people nominate via Pokemon Go, some of those come into Ingress as portals. I just want to update that Niantic's other game, which is based on a Nintendo property, Pikmin Bloom, has now started syncing portals and way spots that have been nominated into that game. So it's not had a sync since release. So you may see, if you play that game, new flowers and new mushrooms that have appeared. So if you play Ingress, just be aware that obviously what you're putting in shouldn't have like game specific references, things like that in, because it's used by other games. But it will now seemingly port across to Pikmin Bloom to help grow that map. So don't be surprised if you know any agents who play Pikmin Bloom as well, and you start to see new things pop up there that you know you contributed. It's also added new photos, things like that as well. So just wanted to give a small mention to that. And then linking in with that, there were Wayfair Ambassador applications for 2024 that I mentioned in a previous podcast. Those have now closed. So the Niantic team are now going over reviewing all those applications, and will hopefully be sending out invites to become ambassadors at some point soon. But obviously, people that will be receiving them will be under NDAs or be asked not to share information. So if you applied and you're listening to this and you got one, don't share it publicly. Though I don't think we'll know who got those roles for a little while yet. But if it is shared publicly, then I'll mention it on here and can share further. And then our feature section, talk a bit about mental health, as I mentioned. For our feature this week, as part of working alongside Gaming for Mental Health, we're talking about whether Ingress is good or bad for your mental health. And I've picked up a forum thread that's had a couple of years back, but it's been. So from my view, first of all, can be good for mental health. It's obviously get you out there exploring, going on a walk, and that's always good from a mental, something that people were allowed to do still here in the UK when we were in lockdown to help keep their mental health up and going. We're still allowed to get out and go for a certain time of exercise every day to get out there. And obviously, during that time, you could go out and play Ingress at the same time on that daily walk. So for myself, I incorporate Ingress every day. So I'll play some games on a walk to and then walk back. Ingress and some other Niantic games. I think it's important to note that there is, in some of the mobile games, a case of fear of missing out or FOMO. It's where there's certain, for example, in Pokemon Go, Pokemon that can be shiny for a limited time or have a special move for a limited time. That's not something that really comes up in Ingress. That's more for if you don't attend the live events, you won't necessarily get that badge. So for myself, I know I won't get out to attend Shard Nights or any of the Cryptic Memories Anomalies. So it's not enough of a drive for me to think I'll book a flight to Porto and go and get that Cryptic Memories Anomaly badge. But for some agents, there would be a fear of missing out on that badge and keeping their profile and keeping everything looking good and fresh. But I don't think that's as much of an issue on Ingress. It may become one if there's badges for doing daily bounty tasks for a certain time. Obviously, we've already got things like a Sojourner badge, but most agents want to go out to Onyx and do it for a year. Don't care that much, I don't think. But there are obviously some other concerns with mental health for that and general stalking concerns that people have. So in Ingress, everyone can see your location when you're when you've hacked a portal or when you've placed resonators, made fields, things like that. People can see your live location, and I've had it before a long time ago where someone kind of stalked me on a motorbike that I didn't know when I was going off to somewhere else. But then I've had good experiences where I've met people in my own faction, other factions that have been close by, had walks around with them, discussed the game, which has been helpful to be able to kind of discuss something with people that have got similar interests on there and actually put a face to a name of people that I've just seen crop up in the scanner. And that's obviously a good thing at live events as well. So when I made introductions at the Brighton Anomaly, it was good to for my gameplay and things like that. And obviously some people there that I knew that was nice to put a face to. But obviously there can be some concerns, especially if you're certain gen, certain age group, or if you're in a rough area that people may follow you and track you via Ingress, which I understand is a concern. It's not something that really comes up in the other Niantic games about your location. So, for example, in Pikmin Bloom, when you send a postcard from wherever you are, there's a delay of 12 hours before quite a ways away in that 12-hour time period. And then that's not where your location is now, so there's not so much of a concern there. But I think there's, as I said, various messages in the thread that I'll link to where a lot of people say that it you deal with. So some people have, there's an agent here who is hyperactive, so mental health can get a little hairy without a perspective, or others that remind you it's okay to miscalculate. And then when people say, obviously it depends if you enjoy going for walks, hikes, or driving and being pushed to make, and then the agent says, as with any activity, that depends entirely on what you can. For me, the planning and execution of small, medium, large ops is what brings me joy, and failure is always an option. For some, failure would be a deterrent from trying again. For me, it's an opportunity to improve. The good thing about Ingress has many different ways to be played, and any one of them can bring you joy if you ignore those ways that don't. So I think that's a good point for people that don't necessarily like bounties. They don't have to do them. People that really enjoy scanning and do that as their main thing, they can do that as much as they want, and there's agents that can completely ignore that part if they don't like that part of the game. And another agent called Peringaden mentioned that building their local area is cathartic, and I look so I can build it again, since the building is the activity. Recharging is basically a boring maintenance task that I tend to fail to do. So Ingress is good for mental health in that respect. It becomes less so when players use stalking, harassment, and try and drive other players from the game instead of enjoying the competition. And Zinky Zonk mentioned that Ingress changed my life. I'm healthier, happier, and smarter because of Ingress. And obviously, there are people that quit playing the game, as some people mentioned, where they decide enough is enough, which is totally fair. If it's some health that much, then take a break, don't come back to it. So, and Moog Modular mentioned that it really depends. It's helped me explore and mould out the person I've become to understanding how areas for decades. I don't know if the dopamine also makes us angry when we start to see how the game is no longer new. The struggle with change up gameplay to make exploring a new thing, or perhaps a new experience altogether. The gamification is perhaps the hardest thing to apply on a world level. Princess Sputnik mentioned that I found Ingress good for de-stressing, taking my mind off issues, helped me a lot. But if you are subject to stalking harassment, I've seen others suffer a lot of stress over it. On average, very positive. And I think that's there previously as well. And TP235 says, good for me in general. Since I am in a community group that follows the rules of gameplay and has the same level of social common sense. However, it is a bit frustrating when confronting multi-account or location disguised players. From that point of view, certain games are not good for my mental health, and I've stopped belonging to community groups. Which is, again, no for any game, board game, book for myself. It's nice to just switch off for a couple of hours, an hour or so, and immerse yourself in that. See, people use mobile games, gaming, books, anything like that as a bit of a form of escapism and rest from their real lives. So it's always nice. And obviously, a game that kind of blends real life walking around and interacting with people with a game. So that's a bit of a balance between the two. I think, as I said, for me myself, it helps my for a walk when I could talk to people about Ingress and my interests. I think doing this podcast helps me as well for blowing out Ingress news and views for 20, 30 minutes a week. Sometimes an hour if there's a super long bit on there, and then the only bits that affect me negatively, I guess, for the podcast. So when it's not doing what I want to, or when I've recorded a super long section and I realise I've done something wrong or said a wrong word somewhere that I know I can't correct and have to re-record the whole section again. But again, something like a script would be really helpful for me rather than just bullet points what I'm going to go through. But I'd love to know how you think Ingress is for mental health, whether you think it's good, whether you think it's bad, whether you think it could be improved. And then I'll link to the Gaming for Mental Health webpage that's got all the various streams on there. So the founder for Gaming for Mental Health is a person called Dad Plays Games, and they'll be offering up various codes and things like that for games as well during their streams. So I'd encourage you to watch and listen to them once you have the time. Obviously, listen to this podcast first and then go and listen to them. But I think that's about it for this podcast. So I'm going to move on and get things wrapped up. But hope for all of you that your mental health is okay and that you can reach out to any resources if you need it. Thanks, agents, for listening to the 20th episode of the Ingress Insights podcast. If you'd like to reach out to us, you can do that. Is via Threads or Instagram under the name ingress.insights. That's where I'll read messages. I do read emails that come through as well on ingress.insights@gmail.com. But even though if I don't necessarily respond to them all, I'm kind of dealing with them as and when they come in. If you enjoy this podcast, you can rate us on your podcast service of choice, whether that's Podchaser, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Obviously, 5 stars are appreciated. I've had a few ratings on there so far, so very thankful for those. And next time we show for the third Shard Knight and battle announced, and maybe some more details about what's happening in March. But as I mentioned, it seems quite a full month on there, so that may be all that we get for March. But hopefully see you all out there in the field, and again, hope you've listened. Mental health section, and okay on there for you all. See you out there in the field hacking away.